Today's daf of Amitiyah, daf Lamed Zayin, we left off on daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the page. We are up to Masiv, I believe. The last one line is Masiv. So, says the Gemara. The Gemara was in the middle of discussing cases where it seems that you made a mistake with how you treated the animal, and questions whether you're chayiv in those cases based on how the animal dies. So, says the Gemara, Masiv Rabbi Bar Chama, Halal Rashi Tzokin V'Nafla Ein Ze Ones V'Chayiv. If you bring it up to a cliff and it falls down, so that's not considered an ones. You can't say that's an ones. You brought it to a cliff. It fell. So you're going to be chayiv. But the implication is Hames V'Kedarka Hareza Ones U'Pater. That even though you brought it up to a cliff, if it dies on its own after you brought it up to a cliff, so that is going to be considered an ones, and you're going to be pater. So Frakta Gemara V'Mai, why should you be pater? Lemele Avira Dahar Katla Inami Uvtsana Dahar. Why don't we say that either the air quality on the top of the mountain, the thin air on the top of the mountain is what killed it, or maybe the stress of getting up the mountain and the work that the animal had to put in order to get to the top of the mountain, maybe that's what killed it. No, you brought it to a place where there's a lot of good grazing, and therefore Rashi points out that's a normal place to bring an animal. It's not considered abnormal, it's not considered out of the ordinary to push the animal to that limit in order to be able to get that mira shamein v'tov. If that's so, naflanami, then even if it falls down, you should also be pater, even if it falls from that place. If that place is generally considered by most people to be a safe place for animals to be, no, the situation is you should have grabbed onto it. You didn't grab onto it to make sure that it doesn't run away and fall off the cliff. But if that's the case, they should have grabbed onto it. We said that if it goes up to the Rosh Hetzukin, it goes up to the top of the cliff and it falls, that's considered an ones. You should have grabbed onto it, that it shouldn't go up by itself without being held onto. So it says, which means that the animal was stronger than you. You tried, but it overpowered you. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ketzad Ala Osuschara Biparasa. The Mishnah said an unbelievable halacha, and it sounded unbelievable to Rabbi Yossi, that's why he disagreed with it. The Mishnah had said that if a person rents a cow from his friend and then he lends it to somebody else, and it's Mesa Kedarka by the Shoel, so the Socher just swears that it's Mesa Kedarka, and the Shoel pays the money to the Socher. So Rabbi Yossi says that's crazy. Then the Socher is making money off of somebody else's animal. So I'm Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Yossi, we pass like Rabbi Yossi, that it can't be that the Shoel is going to make money off of somebody else's animal. Rather, taxor para lebailim. Rabbi Yossi said you have to give the para back to the original owner. So we pass in that way, says Rabbi Yudam Shmuel. Amar le Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda le Rav Yehuda. Amar amishmei de Shmuel. You told us in the name of Shmuel that Rabbi Yossi disagrees, even in the first case, meaning not only in the case mentioned in our Mishnah, but even in the case of the previous Mishnah, where the Shomer decides that he would rather pay instead of swearing, even in a case where a guy's a Shomer Chinam, and it's Nignav or Nevad from his possession, so he has the ability to swear and get off the hook, but he decides on his own, instead he's going to pay, he'd rather not swear. So even in that case, where we said that if then we find the ganav and there's a kefel payment to be made, that the kefel payment is made to the shomer, so even in that case Rabbi Yossi is bothered. How could you make a kefel payment to the shomer? Isn't the shomer making money off of somebody else's animal then? So even in that case Rabbi Yossi would disagree, and Rabbi Yossi would say the kefel payment has to be made to the original owner. So you told us that Rabbi Yossi disagrees. You told us that we pasken like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, but in that first Mishnah, halacha kamoso? Oh, in halacha kamoso. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in that first Mishnah as well, where he doesn't explicitly disagree? We just have some sort of mesorah that he disagrees? Amar leh, halacha Rabbi Yossi af parishona? V'alacha kamoso af barishona. Yes, Rabbi Yossi disagrees, even in that Mishnah, where we're talking about a shomer who on his own decides to pay instead of swear. And yes, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in that case as well. Even though he on his own decided to pay instead of swearing, he does not acquire the rights to the kefil, to the dalet v'hei, because he should not be able to make money off of somebody else's animal. So we paskin that way as well. Itmar nami am Rabbi Lazar, chalakai Rabbi Yossi af barishona v'alacha Kamoso af parishon. The Rabbi Lazar holds the same way. Rabbi Yochanan says moda hayi Rabbi Yossi barishon. No, Rabbi Yossi was never moda. Was never a cholik in the first case. Rabbi Yossi's moda in a case where the shomer decided to pay instead of swear. That at that point he acquires the rights to the kefil and the dal vehei. Why? Shekvar shilem, because he already paid. Once he paid, so he paid for the animal, it becomes his. Meaning what, you're always going to go and search for the original owner of every animal? No, once someone pays for it, it becomes his. So over here, granted, he wasn't paying in the sense that he was buying an animal, he was paying for what he considered to be for his responsibility of shmir on the animal, but once you pay for it, it becomes yours, and when it becomes yours, you are entitled to the kefil, and you're entitled to the dal vehei. Says the Gemara, wait a second, those are magic words you just said, Shekvar Shilaim. Why is he entitled to the Kefil and Dalvei? Because he already paid. But didn't we learn earlier that you have to have actually paid to be entitled to the Dalvei? So says the Gemara, Shilaim in, no Shilaim, no, really, only if you already paid, not if you didn't pay yet. So didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us, even if you didn't already pay, as long as you acknowledge that you will pay, isn't that good enough to entitle you to the kefil and dal? So we change the words a little bit. It's not that Rabbi Yossi is moda in that first Mishnah because he already paid, but Rabbi Yossi is moda in that first Mishnah because he already said he will pay. And that's all you need. Okay, new Mishnah. A guy says to two people, I stole $100 from one of you. I have no idea which one of you I stole the money from. Or a guy says, one of your fathers, meaning the fathers are both dead now, one of your fathers gave me a pikadon of $100, and I don't know which one of your fathers gave me a pikadon for $100. Halacha is, nofsin lezeman, lezeman ashodim piatzmo. No one was tovea me. I came on my own and I told them I owe the money, so I should give each one of them $100. Now, what the fact that shodim piatzmo, what that line is really coming to add over here, and why hodim piatzmo necessarily means that he has to pay both of them, the Gemara will deal with. But the Mishnah assumes you pay them both. You try to be motzi midei safek. You don't get involved in any safek over here. So you pay them both. Now, if you look at Tosos and Dibra Maskel Hassam, about 15 lines into the Tosos, the Tosos is bothered by why we need both cases. That gazalti lechem michem mane and the case of av shalachem michem hifkid li mane. What does av shalachem michem case add that the gazalti case did not already have? So Tosos says the Rabbi Tarfon nakat bereisha aviv shel echad michem v'lo nakat echad michem l'rabusa da'afilu shema v'shema nosin l'kol echad v'echad v'balat esidei shemayim. It's an added chiddush that even though it's aviv shel echad michem, neither of you have any idea if you gave me a pikadon or not, because it wasn't you, it was your father's. So clearly the both tainas of shema still b'balat esidei shemayim, you should go and take care of both of them, go pay them both back. Next case in the Mishnah, Shnaim Shevkidu Eitzel Echad, two people give a pikadon to one guy, Zeman of Zamasayim. Reuven gives him $100, Shimon gives him $200. Zeomer Shalimasayim, Zeomer Shalimasayim. Both are claiming that they're the one who gave $200. I mean, they both know that he admits he took a pikadon from both of them. He admits that there was a minimum of $100 in each pikadon, but only one of the pikadons was worth $200. They both claim that they gave the pikadon worth $200, and they both want it back. You give each one $100, and the rest you leave aside until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Because that third $100, you don't know which one to give it to, you just leave it aside. Rabbi Yossi says, but then wait a second. Anytime I know someone else gave a guy a pikadon that's worth a little more than mine, I can just go ahead and claim that the larger amount is mine, and I'm never going to lose anything, because I'll always get at least what I gave him. So the one who's lying over here is getting all of his money back. That's not right. Shouldn't the... There's no... Meaning, why is it not right? It's he's getting his money back. So what's not right about him getting his money back? No, what's not right about it is that there's nothing to discourage a person from lying and creating situations where people who gave larger sums of money aren't going to get all of their money back. It's fine that he's going to get his money back, but we don't want to make it too easy for him to lie and cause us problems for the other guy. So says Rabbi Yossi, no, everything has to be left until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Not just some of it. All of it has to be left over until Eliyahu comes. So the Ramban over here asks a very important question. He says, wait a second. If you know that you gave at least $100 to each of them, so aren't you Moda B'Mitzas? Meaning they're saying that you owe $200. You're Moda to each of them that you owe at least 100. So isn't that a case of Moda B'Mitzas? So shouldn't you have to swear? Now obviously you can't swear because you don't know. The whole point is you don't know. But so then we should say that since you don't know, Mitoch Sheni Yochel Lishav Mishalim, asks Ramban. We should say, really make Radin Yochai V'Shvus Moda B'Mitzas, but since you can't swear, we should say, Mitoch Sheni Yochel Lishav Mishalim, therefore you should pay it. That's it. And that should be the end of it. So the Ramban is mitarets that no, since you're not trying to keep any of the money by you, meaning everyone here is Moda, that you owe $300 in total. You're Moda that you owe $300 in total. They just argue how to divide up the money, so their claim isn't really on you. It's more on each other, right? Their claim is more just how to divide up the money that you're going to give them together, right? So since it's not, that's how the Ran explains Ramban, that since these $300 you're Moda to, so the Ikra Taina Vakfira, says the Ran, is Bein Hamafkidim, is between the two people who gave the Pikadons. That's why it's not considered to be a case of Moda B'Mitzas. The Shach is quoted over here. The Shach is quoted by the Biuri Adaf over here. There's Machlokas Rishonim regarding when we say Munach Achiyavo Eliyahu, who keeps it Achiyavo Eliyahu? Who's the one that Munach where? So the Mordechai says in the name of the Arzurua, in the name of the Chuvas Maimoni, that Munach means Bebezdin. You can't keep it by the Nifgad. Why can't you keep it by the Nifgad? Because then the Nifgad is an easy way. If he ever wants to keep a Pikadon that he has without causing too much trouble, all he has to do is say Eni Yodea. And as soon as he says Eni Yodea, okay, good, you get to keep it. So now he'll be able to keep it, Achiyav Elio, and he'll be able to keep it indefinitely. So in order to discourage the Nifkat from saying Eni Yodea, we don't let the Nifkat keep it, we keep it in the Beis Din. That's how the Mordechai says. The Rambam, however, says that the Mana Shlishi is Munach Etzlo Li Olam O Achiyoda, that he gets to keep it either forever until he's Moda to his Chaver. So the Rambam apparently is not worried about Harama. He's not worried that you're going to say Eni Yodea in order to be able to keep it. So the Shach explains, the Shach in Simon Shin, in Chosh Mishpah explains that why aren't we worried about the Harama? So the Shach says, look at these other two guys that are making the Tainas. They're not innocent over here. They're the ones that are being mafsal al atzmam. They came and they gave the money all at one time in a situation where it's very, the Gemara is going to explain that they gave it all at one time in a situation where it was very easy for things to get confused. So we don't have to worry about harama. Meaning, if anyone is being marim, if anyone is doing harama, they're the ones that are making the tainas are the ones that are doing harama, because we know that they're claiming more money than they're entitled to, right? They're each claiming masayim, so they're the ones that are doing harama. So we're not going to be choshesh for a harama of the one who's watching the pikadon of the shomer when we know beferish that there's a harama being done by the other party. So that's why the Rambam is not choshesh for harama in this case. The Tosfos Maseches Gittin writes that this knas of Munach Achiyav Elio that Rabbi Yossi says that you have to leave it all Achiyav Elio, you can't divide any of it, because we want to make sure the Ramai loses, is not only for the Ramai himself, it's even the Banav Acharav. Because again, the point is not that we're afraid that the Ramai is going to get back the money he owns. He should get back the money he owns. The problem is that we're afraid someone's going to make such a taina, knowing that he has nothing to lose. Now, if his children are going to get this money, so he still might make such a taina, knowing that he has very little to lose. That granted, he might not have use of this money, but the money's going to go over to his children. It's going going to stay in his family anyway. So Tosfos Masechet Gittin writes that we're makbid that we don't even give the money to his children. It's hakol. Rabbi Yossi is meduyak that hakol is munach atchiyava aliyahu. It's not hakol munach for a little bit until he dies. Hakol munach atchiyava aliyahu. Just an interesting remez. The Melech HaShlomo on the Mishnah is quoted here in the Biuri Adaf that in the name of the Sefer Parparos says the Rashi Tevos im lo yimatzei haganav v'nikrav is Rashi Tevos Eliyahu. That sometimes it's Munach HaChiyav Eliyahu when you don't know who the ganav is, you don't know who's taina to believe. Okay, says the Mishnah Viter. If you have two kelim, one of them is worth $100, one of them is worth $1,000. Zomer yafa shli, v'zomer yafa shli. Each person who gave a pikadon is claiming that the $1,000 kli belongs to them. So nosin es hakadol la'echan mehen, you give the smaller kli to one of them. Umitoch hagadol nosin d'mei katon l'sheni. And from the larger kli, from the more expensive kli, you give the value of the lesser kli to the second one, meaning they each only get the value of the lesser kli. And the rest gets set aside until Eliyahu Navi comes. Amar Rav Yossi, so Rav Yossi says, wait a second, if each one is getting the amount of the lesser kli, then the one who's lying, again, isn't losing anything. He's getting his full amount that he gave. And that's not good because it's what's to discourage someone from making up a taina that they're entitled to the more expensive kli. Ella says Rabbi Yossi, as you would expect, Hakol Yehimunach Hachiyav Eliyahu. Leave everything until Eliyahu Hanavi comes. There's no reason to give anybody even the smaller amount of money, because then the Ramai is going to get all of his money that he's entitled to, and we don't want him to get all the money he's entitled to. We want to discourage him from lying in the future. Now, what does it mean? You take from the bigger kli and you give the amount of the smaller kli from the bigger kli to the other party. So Rashi says, Mitoch HaGadol Yishparenu. How do you take from the bigger kli and give the amount of the smaller kli from the bigger kli to the other party? By breaking it. So you break off a piece of it, and you give the piece that's worth the smaller kli to the other party. Asks the Shittim Kvetzes and them in the Rashba, that's not really always such a good idea to break the kli. A lot of times you have a klei zechuchas, you have a glass kli, you're going to break it, now it's worthless. You're not going to have enough to give to the smaller, you know, the smaller amount. Not only that, you're devaluing it tremendously by going ahead and breaking it. So the Mukhi Yosef says, no, it doesn't mean you break it, right? Meaning he disagrees with Rashi. He says, it shouldn't be that you break it, but rather you sell the larger kli, as you would have expected, and you split up the amount of money that you get for the larger kli, and you take the amount of money for the smaller kli. Why would Rashi say break it? What was Rashi thinking? Of course you sell it. I mean, well, what's the havamina that you should go ahead and break the kli? Why would we think to do that? So we're going to see the Gemara has such a lashon. Rashi was tipped off by the Gemara. Why the Gemara says such a lashon is a good question. But the Gemara has such a lashon that we'll get to much later on. Maybe not even today. Anyway, the Ara Achronim, the Yad David explains that even Rashi didn't mean that you break the kli unless it's a kli that doesn't get destroyed by breaking it. Obviously, if it's a kli that gets destroyed by breaking it, Rashi too would say you would sell it. That doesn't mean that you actually break it. Okay, says the Gemara. Alma, we see from our Mishnah, Misveka Mafkinan Mamona, that from a Safek you're going to have to pay money. And we don't say whoever has the money now gets to keep it. Where do we see that in our Mishnah? The very beginning of the Mishnah. You say to two people, I stole $100 from one of you, not from both of you. I don't know which one I stole the $100 from. So you might say, okay, Amotzi Mechavera La Haraya, the guy should be able to keep his money. The ganav should be able to keep the money, because until someone can prove that the money was stolen from them, he shouldn't have to pay it to anybody. But yet we see, Misafek, he pays both of them. He gives $100 to each one of them. So Frek the Gemara Urim Minhi, but read Viter in our Mishnah, Shnayim Shiv Kidu Eitzel Echad, Zemanav Zemasayim. Two guys give a pikadon to one guy. One person gives $100 pikadon. The other one gives a $200 pikadon. Zemar shalim asayim, zemar shalim asayim. Each one claims that the $200 pikadon was theirs. Nosim lezeman lezeman of ashayim unachashiyav eliyahu. The Tanakhama says you only give what you know for sure that you owe each person, and whatever is a safek you leave aside. You can't take away money misafek. So we see that you're not motzi mamon misafek. So isn't it a stira minei bei in our Mishnah that on the one hand we say that you are motzi mamon misafek, on the other hand we say you're not motzi mamon misafek? Samalei pikadon agezel karamis. He says, how can you ask such a stira? One's a case of pikadon, one's a case of gezel. The first case where we're motzi the mamon misafek was a case where you stole. Gezel David Iksura, Kansur Rabbanan. Gezel, where you did an Isra, the Rabbanan will make a Knas. You deserve such a Knas. Pikadon, the Lavid Isura, the Kansur Rabbanan. Pikadon, where you didn't do any Isra, so there's not going to be any Knas. And therefore, you're not going to have to pay more than you actually owe just to cover your bases. So, frankly, Gemara, but wait a second. If you read the Mishnah carefully, it wasn't split along the lines of Gezel and Pikadon. I mean, even just look at the beginning of the Mishnah. What's the first line of the Mishnah? And it's still the same halacha. You're still going to have to pay both of them. So the Gemara picks up on that. The Gemara says, okay, don't ask a stira between the case of Gezel and the case of Pikadon. You can ask a stira between Pikadon and Pikadon, and you can ask a stira between Gezel and Gezel. Verami Pikadon a Pikadon, Verami Gezel a Gezel. Pikadon a Pikadon, what's the stira Pikadon a Pikadon? Dikatani, because it's Dikatani, Reisha, oh, Avav Shalach and Micham, Hifki, that's Limana Venyodea Ezahu, Nosin the Zemana, the Zemana. The very Reisha of our Mishnah that spoke about the case of Gezel says that there's a parallel case of Pikadon where the same halacha would apply. If you tell these guys that one of your fathers gave me Pikadon, I don't know which one, I have to pay each of them. So you see that you are motziman misafek even by a case of Pikadon. And then you could just go ahead with the regular question. Then you look at the later part of the Mishnah where two people give a Pikadon to a guy, one of them worth 100, the other one worth 200. You pay each of them 100, but that second 100, you don't give any of them. We don't say you give the second 100 to both of them because we're motzi mamon misafek. We're not motzi mamon misafek by a Pikadon. So it's a stira and Pikadon itself. So before we even get to the stira and gezel, the Gemara deals with the stira and Pikadon. Amar Rava, Reisha Nasa Kemishev Kidulo B'Shnei Krichos. In the Reisha, it's as if it's the money was given to him in two totally separate units. The Havale and the Medak, where the guy should have been more careful to know who gave what. So since he should have been more careful to know who gave what, and he doesn't know who gave what, so the Shomer is held responsible, and he has to pay both. But Seifa, where one guy gave me $100 Pikadon, the other one gave me $200 Pikadon, Nasa Kemishev Kidulo B'Krak Echad. The case is they both gave it to me all at the same time, all in one bundle. To Lo Havale the Medak, where I couldn't have, or I didn't have to be so careful to know who gave me what. Meaning they both came to me at the same time. They both saw that there was another guy there giving a Pikadon at the same time, and they didn't wait for a receipt. Right? They just both said, yeah, it's okay, whatever, it's fine. And they were both okay with it. Where the Shomer could say, look, you yourselves weren't makbid on each other to make sure that it was clear who was giving what. And you expected me to be makbid? So that's great, I don't have to be more makbid than you guys are being makbid. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, so what does it mean? The Seif is talking about a case, by the case of the $100 Pikadon and the $200 Pikadon, it's they both gave it to him at the same time, B'krach Echad, in one bundle. So says Rashi, Seif Hashif Kidul Hashem Zebifnei Zeh, Havle Kemishne Emanim Zeh Al Zeh Lahavkid Shnei Pikdon Oseim B'tzror Echad. Since they're giving it at the same time, it's as if they're giving their two Pikadons in the same bundle, to Lesle in the Medek, Mayesh Lezeh B'tocho Mayesh L'Chavero, where the Shomer doesn't have to be careful, what does this guy have in the bundle, what does the other guy have in the bundle? They trust each other, so you can trust that when they come making a claim, they're making an honest claim. Now that's the key line. Rashi says, it's not literally in one bundle. It's just that since they're giving it in front of each other, it's as if it's in one bundle, and it just shows a sense of total trust. They're not actually giving it in one bag. They're not coming to you with one bag saying, look, there's a pikadon here of $200 and $100 minus 200, his is 100. Good, take it. If that were the case, then obviously they're trusting each other, and you're allowed to trust them. The chiddush over here is even though they're not giving it in one bag, each one is giving it separately, but they're giving it directly in front of each other. That also implies that that they can be trusted. That's the case of the Seifa. That's how Rashi understands it. However, the Rif and the Rambam seem to understand that no, it's dafka if you give it b'krach echad. It's not going to be good enough for them to give it in front of each other. It has to dafka be given b'krach echad for you to make the assumption that they trust each other. What's interesting is that the Torah is mechalik the psak between a pikadon and a halva'a. By a pikadon, the Torah goes with Rashi, that even if it's not literally b'krach echad, it's like it's b'krach echad. By a halva'a, he goes with the Rambam and the Rif, that a dafka has to be b'krach echad for you to assume that they trust each other. Now, why should there be a difference between pikadon and halva'a? So the Tumim is metaretz with a very fundamental chiluk. He says, what's the difference between pikadon and halva'a? When I'm watching your pikadon, who's doing who a favor? I'm doing you a favor by watching your pikadon. When I borrow money from you, who's doing who a favor? You're doing me a favor. So the level of hakpada and the level of being medayik to make sure I know exactly what's what and which money is going where, there's going to be a higher standard when you're doing me a favor than when I'm doing you a favor. I as the shomer need to be much more careful of knowing what's what and knowing whose money belongs to who when people are doing me a favor and lending me money, more so than when I'm doing them a favor and I'm watching their money. That's why the Torah is mechalik the psak between pikadon and halva'a. So says the Gemara, okay, but there's still another stira. V'rami gezel a gezel. We could ask a stira within gezel itself. Katani hacha, it says in our Mishnah, Amal Hashem gezalti lechem michem manavein yodea ezeh michem o avishel lechem michem hifkili manavein yodea ezehu nosin lezeh manu lezeh manu. The Reisha of our Mishnah says, a guy says to two people, I stole $100 from one of you, I don't know which one of you I stole the $100 from. So the halacha is he pays them both, or a minhi, but we have a stira. Gazel lechem michem ishavein yodea ezeh mehen gazel. Right, let's say you steal from one of five people, but you don't know which one of the people you stole from. Ze omer osi gazel, ze omer osi gazel. Each one is claiming, yeah, it was me. All the five people are saying, I'm the one you stole from. What do? You don't pay $100 to each of them. Maniach gazel b'neim mustalik for Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, you put the $100 down and you walk away. Let them deal with it. Let them fight each other over it. So what do you see? Alma misfeka lo mafkin mamona. V'armin u'ukim mamona b'cheskas mari. It seems that misafik, we don't take money away. Whatever money I'm muchzukin, I get to keep, except for the $100 that I know for sure I owe. I take that $100, I put it down, let you guys fight over it. Isn't that a direct steer with our Mishnah? It's mamish the same case. In our Mishnah, it's two people. In that Mishnah, it's five people. That's the only difference, right? It's two cases where I know I stole $100. I don't know who I stole it from. Our Mishnah says you pay everybody. That Mishnah says you don't pay everybody. You just pay once. So says Gemara, okay, but we made the masnis and dachar Rabbi Tarfoni. You're asking a stira from our Mishnah to a halacha that Rabbi Tarfon says. How do you know our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon? So diktani aladahi modu Rabbi Tarfon b'omel l'shaim gazalti lechem mehemana v'en yodeiz mechem shnosel zemana l'zemana. How do you know our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon? Because it says beferish that Rabbi Tarfon is modu. If the case were the case in our Mishnah, where you go over to two people and you say that I owe one of you $100, I don't know which one, that you give $100 to both of them. So you know our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfon because Rabbi Tarfon says the exact same thing as our Mishnah. But again, so it's Vaiter Estira. It's Estira and Rabbi Tarfon. How can Rabbi Tarfon say that when it's two people, you give to everybody, and when it's five people, you give to only one person? That doesn't make any sense. There must be some other chilik. Says the Gemara, Hasam to Katavilei, Hacha Balat Sisdei Shmaim. Big chilik. In the case of the five people, it's not a numbers game. It could have been two people in that case also. That case was where people were saying, you stole money from me. You weren't coming to tell them that you stole money from them. They had a tain on you. They were tovea you that you stole money from them. So if they're tovea you that you stole money from them. So then, that's a different story. So then, you're only going to have to pay one of them. But over here, you're balatis yidei shemayim. Meaning, me'ikra din, what do you have to do? You only have to pay one of them. Over here, you're balatis yidei shemayim. You're coming to try to cover your ground, to try to make sure that you don't owe anybody money, that you're going to go into the olam ha'emes and you're going to be okay. Dekanami, how do I know that our Mishnah is talking about someone who's balatis yidei shemayim? Dekatani, shahodim ipiatzmo. Mishnah says, why is it that you pay everybody? Because shahodim ipiatzmo, meaning, because you were dafka trying to be balatzei sidei shemayim. So that's why That's why you're going to have to pay everybody, because you were clearly only balas yisidei shemayim shemamina. So we see clearly that that's the case. Amar Mar, going back to the case of the chamisha bnei adam, right? Five people have a tain on you that you stole $100 from all of them. So we said that you put the money down. Amar Mar, hasan de katavile, right? We're talking about where they were tovea you the $100. V'alam atoin, what was your taina back to each of them? Meaning, what did you respond when they said you owe us $100? So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, halashosek. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says you were just quiet. You didn't say anything. You just kept your mouth shut. Okay, that's one approach. Rav Masa Amar Rav, halatzavach. That no, you were tzavach. He said to each one of them, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Look, I know I stole $100 from somebody, but I have no idea who you are. So what do you want from me? So aval shtika koda. But if you were quiet, if you sat there as each one of them was making a taina on you, that would be considered kahoda. That would be considered like you were moda to them. Uman yamar la shosek, the one that says that you were quiet, shtika dahacha lav kodahu. This shtika is not kahoda. Why? Because matziyamalei. No, you could say, I wasn't being moda, I was quiet because I don't know. And I can't tell you I was quiet because I can't tell you you're not the guy. How am I supposed to tell you you're not the guy? I don't know that you're not the guy that I stole it from, but I don't know that you are the guy that I stole it from either. So each guy, I was shosik because I have nothing to say. Normally shtika koda, but not in this case. In this case, I know that I stole the money, and I just don't know who I stole it from. So I'm shosik because I'm a supak. So shtika is because of a suffik. There's a suffik in the Achronim. The Brich Savram is mistapik. What's the din of shtika koda? Is shtika koda, the way he calls it, is it a haskama or is it hoda amamish? Haskama meaning, you know what? Not sure, but you know, if you say so, right? Haskama just means if you say so, so it must be. Or is it Hoda Mamish, where it's like a sense of Vados, where it's like Hoda's Baldin, where I'm saying that for sure, look, I know that you're right, and that's why I'm being Shosek, because it's an absolute Hoda. Nafkamina is, what if Edom come afterwards that say that he's Pater? So if it's Hoda Mamish, once you have Hoda's Baldin is Kamei Edom Dami. So there's no, so then even Edom coming afterwards to say that he's Pater wouldn't get him off the hook. But if it's only Haskama, and he's only, the guy's only getting the money because he made the taina, and I'm saying, yeah, whatever you say. So then the Edom are going to be stronger than a haskama. They're not going to be stronger than a hoda, but they're going to be stronger than a haskama. So the Birch Savram tries to be machiach from the Shittim Govetzis over here, that it appears over here that a guy says to his friend, Nisnaseich Yencha, and the other guy says, the other guy is Shosek. Even if he doesn't have the ability to be menaseich the wine, he's neman. Why? Because shtika koda. That's how the Shittim Govetzis writes over here. Now, b'yayin nesech, an eidach is not going to be believed unless he has the ability to be menaseich in himself, because it has a cheskas heter. And still, because of shtika koda, apparently we allow him to aser that which is becheskas heter. So we see that that shtika koda is that you're completely ma'am, and you're completely mekabel what he has to say, and you just take whatever he offers you. Now the Shittim Govetzis writes that if you believe him in your heart when he says nesaseich yencha, you believe it totally. Even if there would have been some way to be told that it would be mutter, it's hadavar. We still the shtika is koda, and it's going to be aser. So it sounds like shtika koda is sort of a shavya nafshe chaticha di surah type of thing. That you mam in him, you don't know any better. Not that hoda that you're saying with a sense of hadas, but it's like shavya nafshe chaticha di surah, that you're agreeing because you're being maskim to the idea that this person. That you in fact owe money to this person. Okay, let's go weiter in the Gemara. So, Amar Mar, Maniach Gezel B'nei Mestalik. So, what do we say you should do? Put the money down and just run away. So, Veshakla Kulavazli, then each of them are going to rip it apart and take a piece of it. Whenever you're not sure, whenever you have a safek hinuach, you're not sure if someone placed it there on purpose, you shouldn't take it. And if you do take it, you shouldn't put it back. You shouldn't put it back there. So, and if someone says that it's his and he gives a simon, and he doesn't give a simon, you can't give it back to him because maybe it's not his. And the real owner is eventually going to come. So why over here is it okay to just leave it there and let them rip it apart? So Rav Safra v'yaniach. So Rav Safra says no. That which we say mistalik doesn't mean that you will let them just take it and go. No, it doesn't mean that they get to rip it apart. It means it should be munachas biyado, the way Rashi explains, munachas biyado achis barra davar. It doesn't mean you put it down, it means you hang on to it until it's the matter is clarified. And mistalik doesn't mean you leave it alone. It means you leave it in Beis Din and let Beis Din hold on to it till someone can figure out exactly who owns it for sure. Amle Abai L'Rava, Miyam Rabbi Kiva Lozu Dark Motsiyasa Midei Avera Ache Yishalim Gzela L'Kol Chad V'Chad. Does Rabbi Akiva really say that you're not going to be Motsi Midei Avera until you pay each and every one of them? Doesn't Rabbi Akiva say that? Alma Misfeka Mafkina Mamona. Sounds like Rabbi Akiva holds that Misafek, we do make a guy pay. V'lomri Nukim Mona B'cheskos Maria. We don't just say, leave the money in the chazak of whoever has it. Ruminhi, yet we have a stira nafla by Salav Alimo. If you have a house that falls in on a guy and his mother at the same time, they both die. We just don't know who died first. Yorshe ben Omra Emes Rishon of Yorshe Em Omrim Yorshe Ha'em. I'm sorry, I lost the place for a second. Yorshe Ha'ben Omrim Ha'emes Rishon of the Yorshe Ha'ben say that the mother died first. And therefore the son yarshined her, and all the money was his, and therefore we should get it. The yarshim of the mother say, Haben Meis Rishon, the son died first, and therefore the mother yarshined him, and all the money goes to them. Elu ve'elu modim she'achloku. Everyone would agree that you would be cholek, that you would divide it. So Vam Rabbi Akiva, Moda ani bazu she'nechasim b'chazkasan. And Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, keep the nechasim whatever chazaka they are. I'm Moda in this case that you keep the nechasim b'chazkasan. So don't you see that Rabbi Kiva does not say that misfeka mafkinan mamona, that you take the money away misafek? Samalei, hasam shema v'shema. No, in that case, it's a shema v'shema. That's why you leave the money b'cheskasan. Gazal echad michamisha, but if you stole from one of five people, it's bari v'shema. Each of those five people are claiming with a tainus bari that you stole from them. Now, what's moda nibazu? What's the lashon moda, that Rabbi Kiva's moda? So Rashi says, very interesting, moda nibazeh, afal pisha ani mishal b'shamai, even though normally I follow the sheet of b'shamai, and I say b'shar nefilos yachloku, normally I would say you divide it. In this case, I'm moda to the Beis Hillel that the nechasim are b'cheskasan. Says Tosfos, Rabbi Akiva was from the b'shamai? Really? And in fact, Tosfos HaRash says even stronger. He says, if Rabbi Akiva was from the b'shamai, why is it by Rabbi Elazar we say Rabbi Elazar shamutehu? We say Rabbi Elazar was from the b'shamai, and therefore we never pasken like him. And what do we say about Rabbi Akiva? Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero, that we always pass on like Rabbi Akiva whenever he argues on anybody else. So it can't be that Rabbi Akiva was from the Beis Shammai. We wouldn't always argue on him. We wouldn't always pass on like him if Rabbi Akiva was from the Beis Shammai. So it says, no, it doesn't mean Rabbi Akiva was from the Beis Shammai. That's clearly not what he means, moda nibazu. No, just that since it used the lashon of elu modim before, so Rabbi Akiva used the lashon of moda as well over here. But it's impossible to say the Rabbi Akiva was from the Beis Shammai. It's an interesting Tosfos Rashi goes through the whole history of who everyone was and where their allegiances were and who the Rebbeim were. He says even Rabbi Elazar wasn't really only from the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Elazar was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was one of the Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken. So clearly Rabbi Elazar wasn't purely from the Beis Shammai either. He just had a netiyah toward the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Akiva had a netiyah toward the Beis Hillel. So frankly, Marva Masnis and Dach Amal Shaim Gazalti Lechem Ne'emana D'Shema V'Shema V'Ketani Nosan Zeman Al Zemana. What do you do with our Mishnah where it's clearly a case of Shema v'shema, and still you pay them both? We don't just say ukim mona b'cheskase. So says Gemara, "Might Rabbi Akiva he? How do you know our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva? The Ketani Allah dehi, Mod Rabbi Tarfon, Bar Malashayim, Gazalti Lachem Me'emana, Ve'enu De'ezim Mechem." Rabbi Tarfon agrees to our Mishnah, and he's moda to somebody that our Mishnah is correct. Leman moda, Lavdu Rabbi Akiva Bar Pulte. Isn't it obvious that Rabbi Tarfon is being moda to Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Akiva must hold of our Mishnah. So says Gemara, "Might Shema v'shema who? Chadud lo Ketani tovna." So how do we know our Mishnah's case of Shema v'shema? First of all, it doesn't say anyone asked him for money. Plus it said Zomar Ein Yodeh, which is clearly Shema V'Shema. So Kim Nalav Balatzi Sidei Shemaim. No, we already answered it. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you Balatzi Sidei Shemaim. Just another couple of lines. Amalei Ravin L'Ravashi Umiyam Rav Kol B'Shtei Krichos Havalei L'Medak. Do we always assume when you're given two separate packages that you have to be medayik to know who gave you what? From Rav Avitei Rav Papa Hakol Modim B'Shneim Shefkidu Eitzel Roeh Sheminiach Roeh B'Neim U'Mistalek. Isn't everyone moda when two people give something to a roeh that the roeh just puts it between them and leaves it aside, that you don't have to, the roeh doesn't have to know who gave him what and therefore give back to each of them? No, they just deposited something in his flock without him knowing exactly where they put it, so in that case he obviously doesn't have to know. But normally when they give you two separate packages, you have to know exactly what you were given and give back to each and every one of them. Okay, we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.